Welcome to Recurring Nightmares, episode 25. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
That's me.
And it takes a certain X factor to make our fritters, or something.
Sure.
We have our first recurring theme here on the show. We're doing two more Texas Chainsaw inspired movies, and the way this came about is mostly I wanted to cover that new movie X from Ty West, and so that's how this episode came about. But before we get into our movies for the month, might as well talk about what we've seen over the last month. I have not seen a lot, and I don't think you have either, right?
Not really. I saw a few new things.
Yeah, so you saw a movie I am dying to see, the new Michael Bay movie Ambulance, right?
Yes, I saw Ambulance.
I lay it on me. I can't wait to see this movie.
It's a action crime drama where a group goes in to rob a bank, shit goes bad, and then they end up in an ambulance with a injured police officer as their hostage passenger, and the majority of the film is this chase of this ambulance through, I believe it's Los Angeles, Angeles. Stars Jake Gyllenhaal, Yahya Abdul-Mateen. He plays Gyllenhaal's foster brother or something, like their family of somehow, like they're adopted, or it's like, I'm not really sure exactly how they played that out, but he's black, Gyllenhaal obviously white, but they are brothers in some way. It's not just like, oh, we're really close. Like they were family, raised by the same dad.
Yeah.
He has it. Gyllenhaal's character is he's not the main character. This other guy, Will, is, and he is, he's a veteran, I believe a Marine, and, his wife has cancer. She's sick. They're low on funds. He goes to his brother, Danny, for a loan, and Danny hooks him into, driving for this.
Let's rob a bank.
Yeah. Basically like, hey, you join me, like we're gonna hit this thing up for a ton of money and you'll be set. Like it's an in-out job, we have it planned, it's easy to go, and things obviously go bad. There's a huge shootout in the middle of LA, and then that like cuts the team down significantly, and it's just Will and Danny, this EMT that is in the ambulance with them, played by Isa Gonzalez, and the injured cop. And it's a really long like chase scene. There's some really cool, it's Michael Bay, so he's gonna blow some shit up and it's gonna look really cool. There's some like gratuitous violence. There's a scene where Danny calls in a favor from his dad's old crime life, and like, hey, help me out, I'll give you a cut of the money that we have on board to do this. And like it's like this Hispanic gang, and they just like shred all these cops, which wasn't necessarily the plan, but it's a really like cool, brutal scene. And it plays really well. You kind of get to like Will a lot, the main character. You understand why he's doing it. Like the system is just shitty, and like specifically, it has undertows of the insurance system in the United States is garbage. Michael Bay is kind of like leaning on the side of like, hey, even for veterans who have like served the country, it is garbage. Like you can't get what you need to keep your family alive, and so you people resort to stuff, maybe not necessarily this, but they resort to whatever it is that in desperation to get what they need, and that's kind of how this plays. But at the heart, like, Will's a nice guy. He's not out to hurt anybody. He was just trying to get the money to help his wife, and, you know, shit goes bad. It's just a bad day. It's fun. It's a little bit long. It didn't feel long to me, but I think it's all like 2 hours and 20 minutes or something like that. So it's a little bit longer than, you know, what you would think for a movie that is basically just like a long car chase, but they do a lot of cool stuff with it, back and forth.
Heard lots of crazy, drone shots.
Oh yeah. Like that, some of the camera work is phenomenal. Like the way he has utilized the drones is great. It's not just, overhead shot. Like, they'll go down the side of a building.
Yeah, impossible. Things that would be impossible.
Yeah, and then, in the car chases, like, it's going underneath the ambulance and above the cop cars. And, like, just some really awesome cinematography and camera work with this. And it's, Michael Bay over the last 15 years has kind of been... He's always kind of been like, oh, he makes schlock films. But I think the guy has, he has directing chops. He knows how to make a classic action film.
Yeah, absolutely. And
he's just been stuck making Transformers films for the last decade and a half. And this is kind of a return to what he does best, I think. And he does a really good job. It's, it looks way better than its budget of $40 million.
Yeah, I'm surprised they were able to make a movie like this for that budget. It's also too bad that it apparently, bombed at the box office. And I'm part of that. I'm partially to blame. I did not get to go to the theater to see it. And I've been just checking VOD every week going, is it here yet? Is it here yet? Because I'm kind of sad I missed it in the theater because it just sounds like a fun theater movie.
It was fun. It's one of those things. I saw it opening weekend, and it's one of those things. But when you see it with people, and the theater wasn't full, but it's a film holy shit! You'll hear people just saying stuff out, and that's fun because it's yes, holy shit, that was amazing. there's a cool vibe to seeing something like that. I expect you'll be able to see it sometime in May.
I think so.
It came out April 8th, so if it sticks to, and I think it's Universal, so I think they have a 45-day window, so maybe mid-May, end of May, right before Memorial Day might be available for VOD. This is one I think I'll pick up to own. It's one I can definitely see watching multiple times.
I hope it gets to Peacock before my month of Peacock runs out.
Oh, right. They drop stuff on.
I mean, they did
Jackass Forever, right?
Halloween.
Yeah, that came out day and date, but yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe
I imagine it'll go to Peacock. I got a month of Peacock to watch this stupid John Wayne Gacy documentary, which was not very good, but now I have that month. You know what I mean?
And one other thing, Jake Gyllenhaal is phenomenal in this. He is just chewing scenery.
Now, is he the main guy that you said, or is his brother
Will is the main guy, the main character. Danny is his evil stepbrother, the adopted brother or whatever. He's the evil mastermind, or the troublemaker. And wow, he is a slimy dude. And he is just chewing scenery with this. He is a joy to watch. You don't like him, but the performance that he gives is great.
I heard he's having a blast in this. Everything you've said is pretty much everything I've heard. I don't think I've really heard anything bad about the movie. A lot of positive reviews will be it's stupid, but it was awesome.
It's very simplistic, but ultimately I think the best action movies kind of have a simple premise, right? Die Hard is just a hostage situation in a tower and a single cop. Like, it's not, there's not a lot of like plot motivation or anything. There's enough to get it moving, and that's all you need.
The raid gets at the top of this building. You know what I mean? Right. There's not, yeah.
Yeah.
Another movie you saw is one that I got to see as well. It's one I think we were both looking forward to, The Batman.
Yeah.
What's your take on The Batman?
I like The Batman. I am glad I did not go see it in a theater, though.
Yeah, it felt pretty long, right?
It is a long movie, and it feels long. Like, it feels
like
3 hours is rough.
I checked the time, expecting it to be like almost over, and I was like 1 hour and 36 minutes in, so I was like halfway.
Yeah.
And but I will say, like, once you get to like that last hour or so, it does get pretty cool, I thought.
Yeah,
I mean it goes
cool Batman stuff.
Yeah, and it does, you know, near the end, like the last 20 minutes becomes kind of like a typical superhero movie. I mean, it's not like a giant beam coming out of the sky to blow up the world or anything like that, but it's pretty big, like, attack on the city that happens near the end.
Yeah.
But I still thought that was fun. Anyways, I didn't mean to, like, jump in, like, over your thoughts, so.
No, I mean, that's, like, yeah, it does revert to, like, a more traditional superhero movie in the final, you know, half hour, 20 minutes. But before that, it's a pretty cool, like, detective story. I mean, it shows Batman in a way that we haven't seen him in films, I think.
I think it was a cool idea to do it like that. We've seen Batman so many times in the movies, right? But, like, yeah, we've never gotten to see what he technically is, what he is in a lot of the animated series, what he is in the video games a lot, is doing detective shit, you know?
Right. We always see him in, like, the action role or, like, in that superhero. And, like, he's a normal dude there's a line, I think, in Justice League, and I don't know if it's in the theatrical version or that really long Snyder cut, but, like, the guy who plays the Flash, like, looks over at him. He's like, so, like, what's your superpower? He's like, I'm rich. Like, that's literally what, like, he is a rich guy that plays detective in a bat suit. And that's what this shows off.
But even more grounded here in terms of his tech compared to the Nolan movies, which, you know, the Nolan movies were, you know, closer to reality than most comic book movies, but, you know, he had this crazy, like, military tech going in that. And this, when he finally uses, like, a wingsuit, pretty fucking hilarious the way it plays out.
Yeah, he doesn't really play into the fact that he's, like, the rich dude in charge of Wayne Enterprises. Like, they don't really, I think they mention it at one point, like, oh, you need to do this because you're going to lose the company. And he's like, I don't care. But yeah, in the Nolan ones, like, it is definitely played up that he works for, but he owns this, like, military complex and stuff that does all that. And here he's just, like, working with, like, it's like Batmobile is just, like, it's just like a muscle car that has, like, some armor plating on it.
I know. That was the other thing I was going to mention besides the wingsuit is the Batmobile. It feels like a real car. Although, I mean, that is probably the coolest looking Batmobile I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's really awesome.
But yeah, like, I thought, like, it starts off, like, first half hour, 45 minutes, it's very detective trying to solve murder, like, trying to catch a serial killer, basically, right?
Yeah.
And then it kind of, I think it starts to open up a little more and to become, like, this kind of crime epic where it's about, like, generations of corruption in Gotham, which I also thought was cool. Like, I thought, you know, they finally did something different with Bruce Wayne's parents in this. I'm not going to, like, give it away, but I thought, you know, the things that you find out about his parents, I was like, oh, it plays into the plot, and it's something that, like, I don't recall ever happening in a Batman story that I've seen. I don't know if you recall anything like this, but
not in film. Like, they've
done stuff like that in the comics,
like,
or
Did you play the Telltale Batman games?
I did. Yeah. So maybe you're right.
They play a little bit off of that, where it's like his parents were maybe involved with, I think it was like the Penguin's parents or something, and they were corrupt. They play with that every once in a while. Like here, I think it's done really well. And
you're right. It has been done, but it hasn't been done like the movies, as far as I remember.
No,
they're
almost never talked about. I think like the Nolan ones maybe touch on them the most.
They're just like these saintly figures that got killed . So I liked that. I generally really liked the movie. I thought it was, it got the comparison a lot to Fincher, like it's a Fincher movie, and it really did often remind me of Seven.
I could definitely see that. Yeah.
Yeah, just the Riddler reminded me a lot of the killer in Seven, and even down to how it plays out when they catch him. You know, this kind of like he's just waiting, like, you know, and like, I got, you know, like, I really thought the Riddler was a great villain. I thought Dano did a great job playing him. And I thought he had a cool, like, motivation playing into this whole, like, corruption thing. I thought Colin Farrell was fucking a lot of fun as the Penguin.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really liked it, man. I think I saw you mention this. Like I sat on this for a while, but I think I saw you say it's not your favorite Batman movie, and I didn't want to like compare it to the other ones right away. I just wanted to see how I liked it as it is. But now that I'm happy we didn't record this like the day of me seeing the Batman.
Yeah.
Because now that I've got some time, like in my opinion, it's nowhere as good as the Nolan shit, but it's a cool take. I don't know. Like
I'm excited to see where this goes, and like it's not linked to anything, so it's not like trying to build up
a little bit. I mean, it's trying to within its own world, it's trying to build up.
But it's not like trying to build up like the DC universe, like which
no, the Flash isn't showing up, and like I don't know, I that's something that bugs me a lot with Marvel, and it's completely gone here, and I like kind of dig that about some of the DC movies, like. Joker's kind of like this one-off movie. I thought this was better than Joker too, the Joker movie.
Agreed, yeah.
Briefly, I mean, I guess this is kind of a spoiler, but I think people know this. Like, Joker is in this, and I really would like to see that actor get a chance to do more with the Joker. I think that actor is really scary, like creepy dude.
Yeah.
Like even when he's not playing the Joker, he creeps me out.
I think I saw someone's like they hadn't said that, you know, the Batman was getting a sequel yet, although it's the most successful film this year. They did announce that this week. I don't know if it was yesterday or today. But it was announced, and like so there were people out there like, who would you like to see the villain? I'm like, it's clearly the Joker. Like, he was in this movie. He says he has plans for he was like saying that he wants the Riddler to team up with him. Penguin's in it, obviously, but like I think they're setting up for that guy to be the Joker.
Penguin won't be the main, that's for sure. I think
he can't be. Like
if they want to, they could still have Joker operating like Hannibal Lecter, like just talking shit from prison. But, I mean, yeah, signs point to it would be him, but they could come up with something. But Penguin in this, to me, feels kind of ineffectual. Like he couldn't be the main. Although at the end, you saw, like, I guess we're kind of doing spoilers a little bit. But, like, you kind of saw that, like, Penguin wanted to grab power at the end.
Yeah, he was backing up, and he was allowing things to play out.
But he doesn't come off as like very competent in this take of him. Like he's just like kind of this guy that's, he's there and he's a heavy, but
yeah, he's somebody.
Things kind of happen to him a little bit.
Yeah, he's a follower. Like he can run his own crew, but he's never going to be able to like run the city. I could definitely see that. Like that could make for like a cool dynamic where like the Joker is like this kind of chaos, and Colin Farrell's a Cobblepot Penguin is more restrained. So you could see how the two of them would play off.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. That'd be fun. But yeah, like going to that Joker chaos factor. Like, I thought the motivation for Riddler in this was cool, and I liked like this crime epic that they tried to build up around that. But to me, like, nothing's ever gonna beat Joker in The Dark Knight. He was just, there was no understanding him. There was no reason. Right. He was just bad things happening just because, you know. And so, yep. Like, that'll always be. Plus, you know, Nolan was doing like Heat in The Dark Knight, and like just like the opening of that movie of The Dark Knight, the bank robbery scene is like more exciting than anything that, for me, anything that happens here. As much as I like this, like I thought this was, again, reminded me a lot of Seven, and I really dug that. But to me, The Dark Knight's like maybe the best movie of the century so far, and so like this is not quite up there, you know, not quite up to that level, and I never really expected it to surpass that. But you know, you see people, like, everyone has their opinions and their rankings, and so like I've seen a lot of people say this is the best Batman movie, and it's like for me it's not, but it's a really good one. Like I did really enjoy it. So
yeah, it's up there for sure. And I mean, I didn't realize like Matt Reeves, but man, like this guy is good.
I like him. Like, he did Let Me In.
Yeah, Let Me In. He did Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, War for the Planet of the Apes, Cloverfield. Like he's got some chops, and he has like that. He has that horror edge to him as well, and that comes to the forefront here. And I think Batman lends itself to that because Batman's like a dark.
This one especially did have a bit of a horror. Again, like I keep coming back to it, but it really did a lot remind me of Seven. Like,
yeah, a really, really good Batman movie.
And Reeves is like, he seems to be able to go in different modes and kind of mimic different directors a little bit and work in different genres. I like Reeves quite a bit. Like, I don't think I've seen a movie by him I don't like. So
yeah, I think I've seen everything except for The Paul Bear, which is evidently a romantic comedy. I have not seen that
either. Yeah.
With David Schwimmer and Gwyneth Paltrow. Like, I'm looking at the rest of his filmography right now, and I'm like, yeah, all these fit together, and then there's that. It's like, well, that's a weird one, but whatever.
Cool that I'll get to follow this up. You know, I am so sick of superhero stuff, but I've always had a soft spot for Batman. Always really loved Batman. Like, the animated series, I run home from school. Like, I was down in front of that TV as soon as it came on, you know? Like, I saw all those episodes. I don't think the movies from the 90s really hold up. I'm sorry. I know we covered them on our last show, you know, on Movie Dudes.
Yeah.
And I know there's people that, like, defend them and, oh, they're actually good and this and that. But I even think, like, even the first two, not amazing. But,
The
Nolan movies and this are pretty great. What were you gonna say?
I think those ones from like the, was it like 89? Is that the first?
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, you know, those movies are different. They are like, for a sure, weird blend of that 1960s Batman and modern. Like, it's like the middle road of like what you would do before you get to Nolan and this Matt Reeves version.
It's very weird. I do think, I mean, out of all of them, I think maybe Batman Returns is the coolest one, but it's still so weird. Like, I would not choose to watch that over any of these new ones. Maybe over Batman vs. Superman. I wasn't a big fan of that.
That's fair.
Anyways, I guess that's the Batman. We both really liked it. I was so, like, hyped to see it, and I did really enjoy it. I was engrossed. I was into it. Chris, what do you say we get to it? Was there anything else that you want to touch on that you've seen? Or,
I mean, those were, that's about it. Like, there, you know, there's some TV stuff, but nothing
crazy, yeah,
nothing big.
I've been watching a ton of TV. I guess not gonna go into any of them, but Better Call Saul is back and better than ever. Like, it is that show, the first three seasons were kind of slow, and then seasons four, five, and six are very much like Breaking Bad, very intense and exciting.
Nice. I'll have to get back into it. I think I fell off in season two.
It's worth it, man. It really is. And they're all on, you know, through season five is on Netflix, and
okay,
you will not regret it. Like, so yeah, this is the thing I would say about it is I have a friend who he didn't really watch Breaking Bad. He saw Breaking Bad in bits and he like circled back to it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And he's watched Better Call Saul from the beginning, and he's been saying for years to me that, you know, Better Call Saul is better than Breaking Bad. And a lot of people who are huge Better Call Saul fans will say that. And I thought they were crazy. But now I'm starting to think that they're right. It is a longer on-ramp for Better Call Saul. Like, again, the first three seasons are kind of slow. But I think that it's just, it's almost more realistic. The character writing is better. Jimmy is a more interesting downfall than Walter. Jimmy, that's like Saul Goodman or whatever. Yeah. It's, yeah, I think that these people might be right. But yeah, so much good TV right now. We could probably do a whole episode of cool, like, lots of really good TV, I think. But that was the big, that coming back was a big one for me.
Nice.
So ready to get into it, or?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so I already explained why I chose the movies that I did. I didn't realize when I picked these movies that how well they would actually play as an actual double feature. Like, I would actually recommend watching X and Motel Hell as a double feature if you like to do that.
Sure.
And I think even Ty West uses an aspect of Motel Hell in his film, which is like this evangelist that's always on the TV in the background, and we'll get into that. I'll share my thoughts on what I think that both the filmmakers are doing with that, but we're going to go in the order that I would recommend actually doing it. Like, if you were going to sit down on a Friday night and do a double feature, we're going to go in that order, and we're going to start with X from 2022.
All right.
Farmer's daughter, take one. I need to be famous, Wayne. All the best people are.
Ain't nobody else out there like you.
You know why?
Why?
Cause you got that X factor.
Our days of struggling may soon be over.
Hollywood, here we come.
So this is it. Our own studio backlot.
I'm looking for a place to stay.
Oh, yes, sir.
That's one ugly son of a bitch. Now, my wife, Pearl, is next door, so I would appreciate a little discretion. I just want me.
He don't know what we're doing, does he?
Well, it's better to beg for forgiveness and ask for permission.
Would you like to come inside?
My supplies.
I want to be in the movie.
Well, you can't.
The story can't just change midway through.
If Daddy catches us, there's no telling what he might do.
My wife is not well. It happens after dark.
Do you?
People's eyes are gonna pop out of their damn skulls when they see this.
What? Are you all right?
No.
Thank you.
is found this inside.
What do you think is on it?
I see one goddamn fucked up horror picture.
Written and directed by Ty West, came out March 18th of 2022. Its budget, I couldn't find. I know it's not a huge budget, but I did not see any specifics on the budget. Yeah, it's box office.
I don't see anything on that either.
It's box office is nearing 13 mil. It kind of, it was in the range of what was expected for its opening weekend. But I know Ty West was hoping that this would be like a huge hit. I don't know what a huge hit is for a horror movie. Like, you're not going to do like Halloween numbers, you know, but I'm sure he wanted it to do a little better than it did. Did not like, did not overperform, put it that way, at the box office. It's kind of falling right where I guess A24 expected it to go.
Okay.
But it got good reviews. It's at a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes, so critics actually liked this one. 7.9 on IMDb. And it starts off at the end. Like, you're seeing like the aftermath of a crime. And the opening shot, it's like you're looking out this barn door. And the reason I mention that is because at first you might be like, is this in fucking 4x3, the aspect ratio, because like the barn door is cutting off the sides of the screen.
Yep.
But then we zoom in, and you know, you see an axe, you see a body covered with a sheet. The sheriff looks at something and says, "Oh my god!" And you cut to a shot of cocaine and the lovely Mia Goth and our crew of porn filmmakers. It's Texas, 1979. And they're about to hit the road to make their big porno, The Farmer's Daughters. You know, they got dreams of, like, not being working stiffs, this little crew here. And Mia Goth, specifically, she has dreams of being a star, I guess a porn star.
Yeah, a star of some sort. She's not afraid to use sex to get her there.
Mm-hmm. They're hitting the road, though, because they're going to go shoot this Farmer's Daughters movie in this, like, little house that they're renting on, like, this, you know, renting some, like, house from, like, a farm. Like, they have, like, a little guest house. And that's where they're heading to. They've rented it out. They're going to shoot their porno in it. And the movie takes its time to get to, like, the danger that they're falling into. It really spends its time letting you get to know these characters, as well as getting to know like the people that they're running from, like this older couple. And it's doing certain things. Like it's showing you how a film is made. And I know that was a big motivation for Ty West in this story. Like the idea kind of sprang from he wanted to do a movie about movie making, and that's how he came up with this story. So you'll have parts where like they're shooting a scene and, you know, one character will be like, "Whoa, why are you shooting, you know, this is not the beginning of the movie," and he's like, "Well, you could shoot it in any order you want and then edit it later," which is like, that sounds obvious to like people like me and you or whatever, but it's like, I heard Wes do an interview, he's like, a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people think a movie is like shot in order. And I'm like, yeah, it's true. So he's like taking an opportunity here to like, you know, put in little things about filmmaking. And then I'm sure his hope is that you'll start to notice little things in the movie itself and appreciate them more. But yeah, it really like, you know, you get to see them shooting the porno a lot, like once they get to the to this farmhouse, so you get some sex scenes. There's even like a scene, the violence doesn't start till like an hour in, but there's even a scene where the movie comes to like a dead stop and we get this crew like just doing Landslide by Fleetwood Mac. Like the Kid Cudi is playing guitar, and what is it? Brittany Snow?
Brittany Snow, yeah.
Yeah, she's like singing. And you have an interesting story element running through this, I think. And it's actually like my favorite thing about the movie, to be honest with you, which is the director of this movie, this kid, keeps saying like, what does he say? Like a dirty movie could be great or something like that.
Yeah.
He has aspirations of like putting it like a cinematic spin on this porn. Like he wants to be a filmmaker.
He wants to make Deep Throat.
Yeah. And he's got his girlfriend along, played by Jenna Ortega, and she's you know, holding the mic, doing the boom. She's like the boom operator, and she is like kind of, I wouldn't say appalled by what they're doing, but kind of like, wow, like, I didn't realize this is what you guys were, like, making. And there's this, like, kind of, like, running thing where, like, people are calling her quiet and shy and a prude. Like her boyfriend even says at one point, like, when did you become such a prude, like criticizing what we're doing here? And you get some, like, commentary about sexual politics and like, you know, what is okay, you know, in terms of, like, sex and stuff.
Yeah.
And it builds up to, like, this point, and this is, honestly, I'm telling you, this is, like, my favorite thing in the movie. They're shooting the film, and she sees Kid Cudi perform with one of the actresses, and then they're sitting around at night having some beers, and this is, like, after they played that Landslide song. And she's like, I wanna be in the movie. I wanna shoot a scene. And so all his fucking bullshit about how, like, you're prude and like sex is, you know, sex is fine and porn could be art gets, you know, kind of turned on its head, like thrown back in his face because now all of a sudden his girlfriend wants to have sex with this guy, and he's not having it. He really doesn't want to do it.
Right, like she's like, basically, give me the dick
and
film me doing it. I want to be in your movie too. And now he's angry and upset, like literally pissed off, like to the point where he's gonna fucking leave them behind.
Yeah, and I just loved it. I thought that was like a really excellent kind of calling them on their bullshit. I mean, I don't think what they're saying is bullshit. I kind of agree with like the pornographers in this, but it's putting to the test how much you believe that. And, you know, he has to have a conversation with, I guess, the producer, like the guy that's like running this whole fucking thing. And he's like, dude, like, she's going to do it whether you want her to or not. You might as well just say, okay, hopefully that'll be it.
Right.
I just really, I don't know about you, but I really like, it was like almost like a twist, you know? Cause I just did not see that coming. I mean, there's a part where when she's watching, like, while they're filming the scene, you could tell she's, like, kind of enjoying what she's watching. And then all of a sudden she just comes out like, I want to be in the movie, too.
Right. And I think some of that probably comes from the fact that they kept poking at her, right? And like, you're, you know, you are this quiet. You're this mouse. You're this prudish.
Yeah, she's like, no, I'm not. Right. But I think a huge part of it is she just got turned on by all. And then everyone's saying, it's just sex. It's no big deal. Like,
yep.
The producer is letting, you know, his girlfriend, Mia Goth, have sex, you know, and he seems fine. Like, she asked them, like, how are you guys okay with that? And they're like, well, it's just business. It's just acting. Or, you know, I don't know how you felt about that whole angle, but like, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, and in terms of storytelling, I thought it worked really well.
Yeah.
Character-wise.
See, like, and I see a lot of people say that, like, this movie's pretty slow, and it's like it takes a while to get going, but at least for me, I found the whole first hour to be funny and interesting and smart, and on top of it, Ty West is a hell of a craftsman. Like, this movie, the directing, the shot composition, just the look of it, it's great. So I was never, like, bored in the first hour or so. I don't know about you.
I wasn't bored. It is, I would say I agree that it's, like, a little bit slow, right? This is only, what, it's, like, an hour and 40 minutes long.
Yeah.
And it is, like, an hour before anything kind of horror-wise happens. Because it is, a lot of it is focused on this porn movie, And like that is where one of my criticisms comes in, is for a movie that's titled X and is kind of painted as this throwback to that era of filmmaking, and like I was expecting way more nudity, way more sex than, and it's done in this like kind of artistic style that, you know, A24 is known for. It's not trashy, like, and that's, I don't want to like throw that as like a criticism against it, like that I needed a trashy film, but
see, like, I kind of, okay, go ahead. I'll let you finish your thought, but
yeah, like it just felt a little overly arty, where I think I would have preferred like something maybe a little more generically trashy
and
it's good. Like I'm certainly not disputing that. It's just, it just left me like, I wish there was a little bit more to this.
Yeah. I have your criticism, but not about the sex. I thought that sex was good in it, and I thought it was kind of fun and trashy, but I have that same criticism for the violence.
Yes, which we haven't gotten to, but yes.
Yeah, but people say, and I've heard people say, this is like a gory, good time. I'm like, there's gore, and we're going to get into it, but
it's a good time, but it is that, I think that's it, right? I wanted the excess of it all. And this isn't a film of excess. It is a film about excess. It is not a film of excess.
As far as the sex goes, though, like, I thought, one, I really enjoyed watching Mia Goth.
Sure.
And you do get to see, I think the only one you don't get to see really, Jenna, I don't think Ortega. You don't get to see her have sex at all.
No.
But I was enjoying, I was super into Mia Goth in this, and you know, the camera loves her, and they play her up, and even when she's not having sex, I think she's very sexy in it. Oh, like,
she looks
so
great. She's wearing that,
those overalls,
kind of farmer doll, yeah, the side boob,
no undershirt,
like,
yeah,
super hot, like, yeah, it looks great.
The blue eyeshadow, oh man, yeah, to me, I thought it was like titillating enough, but, and we're gonna get to the violence, like there is gore and stuff, but I think that the violence, gore or not, or like the level of gore or not, it was different. The movie's more fun and less, like, I expected, like, intense desperation that you think of when you're thinking of Texas Chainsaw.
Yes. And I think, that's, for me, like, and it's a matter of, you know, setting expectations, right? I went in expecting, you know, Texas Chainsaw, and I got something that's in that line. It's certainly in that same vein, but it is something
different.
It's definitely,
you know, takes things, yeah, it's... But it's not. This is not a descent into madness that movie is. Yeah. And then when you think of the Texas Chainsaw remake, like that is very intense and very lots of desperation, and like this is just like not going for that. Like,
no,
it's just not the movie that it is. I guess my thing is also is like I prefer that intensity, and like I want horror to like leave a scar. I want it to hurt me, and this movie does not. In my opinion,
it's like I saw that coming. A lot of the kills are like, this is where this is gonna happen, and that's what happened. There are some moments.
There's some good kills. There's some good stuff.
But
and there's some classic slasher stuff. Like there's a, you know, not to jump ahead too much, but there's a part where a guy looks through a hole in a barn and she sticks a pitchfork through the hole, and like you see him get stabbed in the eyes. It's like a classic Friday the 13th kill, you know.
And it's like, and like you see it coming, right? If you've watched any sort of horror films in the last 40 years, you watch that, like, don't put your eye there, dude. Like, that's not gonna end well.
It's not to say that the movie doesn't deliver the goods. It's just, I don't know, the trailer, there's certain shots that directly recall Texas Chainsaw. And then you're like, okay, this is going to go into like crazy Texas Chainsaw shit. And it's not really,
it never ramps up to that level of intensity, except for maybe like the last 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah. And it's trying to have a fun time. It's trying to say something too. I haven't touched on who our villains or I said the old couple, but yeah, the people who own this farm property, like, they're old, and to, like, you know, cut to the chase, like, they want sex, like, specifically the wife really wants sex, and her husband can't really do it anymore because he's got a bad heart. That kind of is why they lure people to their property and I guess kill them. Like, it seems like their plan here is to
kill
everyone except who she wants to have sex with and keep that person as like their little sex toy. Right? Is that it? Like, it's really weird how it takes a turn into the violence, because you're like, I understand she wants to have sex really bad.
I'm
but
not,
like, then why are we killing everyone?
I'm not sure if it's necessarily that they're kidnapping and keeping somebody as their sex slave. Although maybe, because they do lock Lorraine in a way at one point.
Well, she even says, "Well, that's not the one I want. I want she wants to be a goth."
But I do think that, like, she gets off on killing people. Like,
yes,
it gives her that same
endorphin
or dopamine release that you get from having sex. So,
yeah, I think that's kind of, I think I put that somewhere in my notes, but yeah, she's lost her sexual power. You know what I mean? With age, like,
yeah,
she still had her lust, but she's lost her sexual power. And so I guess to get on back on track, the dude, after his girlfriend does the sex scene, he is very upset, and he takes a shower and he's crying by himself, and I got a laugh out of me. But then he's like, fuck these people, I'm leaving. Like, he's gonna take the van and leave in the middle of the night. He goes to drive off, and the old lady's wandering on the property. She, like, blocks his way, and he gets out, and she, like, comes on to him. He's like, what are you doing? Like, she's, like, trying, like, she comes in and gets close to him. I think she, like, tries to kiss his neck and stuff. He's like, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah. And then that's when we get our first kill in the movie, and in my opinion, the best kill, my favorite kill in the movie. She, like, stabs him in the throat, and he falls down by the van. And you get some decent gore here, and she, like, keeps stabbing him in the neck and stuff, and the blood is, like, spraying up onto the headlights of the van. The van's still running, and it just puts them in like, bathes them in this red light, you know, because the lights get covered with the blood.
Yeah.
It's, like, both stylish, and it's one of the more gory kills, and I really dug it. Like, I loved the look of that. But yeah, then from there, we're off to the races, and the last 40 minutes is just, like, the husband and the wife, like, kind of, you know, hunting these people, and basically, like, she wants be a goth. He, you know, the husband ends up getting Jenna Ortega instead and locking her in the basement. But that's kind of, like, what's happening in the second half. Like, we're killing off basically people one by one. You know, is there certain ones that you want to touch on? I do love when Brittany Snow calls her a bitch.
Yeah.
Calls her a mean old ugly bitch, and she pushes Snow in the water, and she calls her a bitch back. And then the gator, which gets set up earlier in the movie, gets her.
Yeah, that was good.
That was cool, but that's, like, another one where it's like, you could have showed me more of, like, the gore of the gator getting her. Like, I hate to be, like, but you know me at this point. That's how I am. It's like, I always want, you know, more and better gore. Like, you even get some, like, kind of off-screen kills here. The old man goes out with Kid Cudi looking for his wife, and I don't think he even kills him on screen, right? Like, you just see him shoot the shotgun.
Yeah, you don't see what happens there. You know, same with Bobby Lynn, played by Brittany Snow, as you said, like, you know, the gator comes up. You don't really get that. You do get RJ getting, like, stabbed in the eye with the pitchfork.
And that's a total classic Friday the 13th type gag. Like, you know, so I appreciate, I'm having fun. Like, don't get me wrong. This is a movie I'm pretty high on, but I'm just, you know.
And that's that's like it. Like, that's the majority of the people. You know, Lorraine gets killed.
Good gore with her. It's so brief, shot, though.
Yeah.
Like, you see her face, like half her face gone.
Yeah. And I do think the best and maybe funniest kill for me, though, is at the end, where, you know, Pearl tries to shoot Mia Goth's character, Maxine.
Yeah.
Big laugh.
She flies back. Because she's shooting a shotgun, and she's this old, frail lady, and she flies backwards out of the house.
And isn't it right before that her husband dies, and he just dies of a heart attack? Like, they've been building up his bad heart the whole...
Yeah, yeah, she...
I think Jenna Ortega, like, her half her face is missing, she, like, gasps or something, and it, like, scares him, right? Something like that? Like, he gets scared.
Yep, yep. Like, Lorraine's not dead yet, and that kind of startles him, and he has a heart attack and dies. and that then, you know, that leads up to the shotgun shot with, you know, Pearl and Maxine. Yeah, I mean, I think it's fun. It's
fun, and it's
a little bit more.
No, it's fun and it's well made. My only thing is, like, the gore could have been ramped up a little bit. I'm totally fine with him not making it this intense, like, Descent into Madness type thing. He was trying to make a different movie, yep. And I think he made that movie really well, and I like that movie, but I think even that movie, the violence could have been stepped up just a little bit.
Agreed, and I think, I mean, and some of that, I don't think it's on Ty West. I mean, although maybe he had approval of the trailer. I think the trailer does paint it more as this Texas Chainsaw thing than it is.
A little bit, but it also does sell you a good time. Like, it's got that classic rock music, and it has the line, the closing line of the movie is in the trailer where the guy's like, got some one fucked up horror movie or whatever. You know, like, it's letting you know it's going to be fun. Huh? Yes,
it delivers on that. Like, yeah. it is a fun movie. I had a fun time watching it.
I do like, so right before she runs over Pearl's head, Pearl's like, you're not innocent. You're not special. It'll all be taken from you just like it was from me. I like the theme of like, basically fear of aging and like your loss of sexual power and all that. Like, I thought that was, and I even more than that stuff, I love the sexual politics stuff that was happening in the first hour.
Yep.
I kind of really dig all that. I don't know about you, but
yeah, it plays really well. There's a, it is, like, it's natural. Like, it's certainly not an unnatural scene, but just the way it is portrayed is maybe one of the creepiest thing. Pearl, like, sneaks into Maxine's room while Maxine's sleeping and, like, plays with her hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, Maxine, you know, she understood. Like, she wakes up, she sees what's fucked up and what's wrong, and she's being chased by Pearl and the older guy. And she's under the bed, and, like, Pearl convinces her husband to, like, fuck her right there.
Yeah.
And it's just like this creepy voyeuristic, the way it's shot, like with them and her trying to, like, escape out the room. It's,
they give the old couple a legit sex scene.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of tenderness to it too. Like, you feel bad for them in a way too, because yep. You know, the very end of the movie though, it kind of cuts back to, like, the cops going over the crime scene. We get the evangelist on the TV again. I guess this is kind of a reveal. I don't know why, but, like, I guess Mia Goth is the preacher's daughter.
Yeah, she is the daughter of, which is you know, an interesting twist on, like, this conservative.
He ran away from it.
Yeah, this ideology that, like, you push and you're pushing so hard that your kids go completely the other way on it, right? Like, where she is willing to be in porn Not that there's anything like we've established. There's nothing wrong with that. But
I'm on the side of the pornographers in this. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. So, but like that her father is such like you know
that he drove her into
pushes the it so hard that he drove her into like what is basically his horror film, like his worst nightmare, would be finding out that his daughter was making porn.
Yeah.
So yeah. Like it's a cool twist on the hypocrisy and of what yeah. these people do.
Well, and that's how I wanted to touch on this because this device is used in our second film of the night as well. The evangelist on the TV, like, so this old couple on their TV, throughout the entire movie is this guy, you know, this evangelist preaching these traditional values and everyone else is going to go to hell and this and that, right? And in my opinion, what I think they use it for in both films, kind of, but especially in X, is to kind of highlight the hypocrisy of these people who preach like traditional values. You know, like our villains in X, they consume this stuff day and night, like people who leave Fox News on all fucking day. And this old couple judges the pornographers in the film, and yet they lust just as much as them. In fact, they're willing to kill for it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's... Like, he said... Like, they will straight up say... Like, the old man straight up says... I think the Kid Cudi at one point, he's like, you're, you know, traipsing around here, tempting my wife. Like, you guys are... You know, you guys are bad. But it's like, you guys are luring people to your house to keep as sex slaves, basically.
Yeah.
You know? So, I think that's, like, kind of the point of all that, I guess. And I guess you're right, like, making her the daughter goes to show how, like, when you push that stuff so hard, you make someone run completely the other way in the other direction, you know?
Yeah, it's a cool take on both sides of that, right? Like, what you just mentioned with the old couple and what they're willing to do and kind of how that just relates to modern day as well. Like, these same people that, like, will follow this and they're holier than thou, but they are willing to do like some of the most despicable shit to get their way.
They're a million times worse. The kids in this movie are innocent, in my opinion. They did nothing wrong, you know?
Yep.
I don't know if there's anything, you know, I didn't touch on every little thing. I kind of ran us through like the major points of this. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on, or you do want to do final thoughts?
No, I think we kind of hit everything here. I mean, we touched on all the kills. We kind of touched on that first hour. Let's jump into that the final thoughts here.
Go ahead, go for it. I kind of said most of mine already, but
yeah, me as well. I liked the film. I thought it was quite good. It was not necessarily what I was expecting out of it, and that's more on me than anything else. I did have a good time with it. I came out of the film like, you know, not upset. I wish there was maybe a little bit more trashy nudity but that's not the film Ty West was making here. He was making a 70s film. I wanted 80s smutty horror.
That's a good point. Yeah. That is a very good point.
And as we mentioned, like the gore is maybe not quite as gratuitous as we'd like, but, ultimately, acting is great. Cinematography is great. Like, I think the story works really well. I like it. It's a good movie.
Yeah. You want to give your score?
Yeah. I am going to go 7 out of 10.
All right. Yeah. I mean, this movie has like a lot of the things that I want out of a movie. It has sex, it has violence, it has cocaine, it has people smoking cigarettes. That's right there. I'm having a good time. On top of it, you know, it's very well directed. Like, I think Ty West might be one of the most important like horror directors we got going, because like there was this whole crop that came out in the 2010s, and a lot of them moved on to other things. David Robert Mitchell did It Follows, and he moved on to do something else. Adam Wingard is doing fucking Godzilla versus King Kong now. Like, Ty West is still doing his shit. And he is, I think, one of the more... I haven't been blown away by a single one of his movies yet, but he's got style, you know what I mean? And I really value that. So again, really well directed and just well made in general.
I think one film of his that like I really like and it still kind of sticks out to me is The Sacrament.
Same, dude. And like everyone talks about The House of the Devil, and that movie does not work for me. But The Sacrament, like, I thought that was a scary movie. Like, yeah. And so I don't know. I guess you and I are on the same wavelength with him. I still haven't seen a few of his. I haven't seen The Innkeepers yet, but
it's a ghost story. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, this is up there with The Sacrament for me.
Yeah,
This is just in my wheelhouse. It's just, as I've said before, I prefer my horror to be as intense and desperate, like, you know, like just really horrible situation as possible. But I also love a fun time too. I'd say that the Friday the 13th movies are a fun time. Yes. They're not like, you know, like, oh my God, like, and this is like somewhere in the middle, like, but he did execute what he was trying to do well. My only real complaint with this is just a few off screen and mild deaths. But you know, and I also liked what I had to say about sexual politics and aging and the loss of sexual power. This is a solid movie. I will say I would not recommend renting this or buying this digital. I'd get it on disc, at least on Amazon Prime for me. It was way too dark. I could not see people's faces were just like silhouettes half the time, and that's not how it looked in the theater.
No, on top of it, it didn't seem dark in the theater to me at all. So,
and on top of it, there's like a post credits trailer for a prequel.
Yes.
That is real and coming out. That is not included when you rent it on Amazon Prime.
Oh, really? It's not in there. But that trailer for Pearl, which is the name of the prequel, it's fun. Like it is very similar to X. It is not the framing for Pearl is not a porn film. Texas Chainsaw.
It looks more bright and colorful though. At least it blew by me so quick. I really wanted to see it again at home where I could like watch it a couple times, but no, it's not on there.
Yeah, it that looks like a fun movie. I'm looking forward to that one too.
I'm happy it got made at the same time. We might not be getting it otherwise. Anyways, I really like X quite a bit. I'm giving it 7.5 out of 10.
Nice.
Our second film is Motel Hell.
Ida will show you the way.
You want us to register?
No, that won't be necessary.
What are you doing on hair curls? Hey,
Vincent. You think in the years to come, people will appreciate us for what we're doing here?
I have a surprise for you.
Oh, goody, I love surprises.
This was directed by Kevin Connor, written by Robert Jaffe and Stephen Charles Jaffe, and there was two uncredited writers as well. It came out October 18th of 1980. It had a budget of $3 million and did a box office of $6.3 million. Did not come out on VHS until later in the 80s. I think this, like, you know, 1980 was when this came out, so it was like the dawn of VHS. So it did not get a VHS release for a while, but it has grown in popularity through the years through, you know, VHS, DVD, Blu-ray, and all that. It had 65% on Rotten Tomatoes, 5.8 on IMDb. Ebert back in the day, gave it 3 stars. He said, "What Motel Hell brings to the genre is the refreshing sound of laughter." And I think that's something that we should like say right at the top. This is a horror comedy, and I think the comedic aspects of it are some of the best parts of it. But yeah, this thing has gained popularity through the years. It's a cult classic. And so now, you know, you're doing your double feature night. You just watched X. It's 11 o'clock at night. You know, you had a good time with X. You're about to crack open another beer. Maybe you're going to pack a bowl. It's getting a little late. You're ready for something a little more ridiculous and, you know, older and less slick looking. And boy, have we got the fucking pick for you with this one. Motel Hell. It's this farmer Vincent who has a motel called the Motel Hello that he runs with his sister, who I did not realize it was his sister for way too long in the movie. I don't know about you, but I assumed it was his wife.
My
girlfriend said, "Are you not paying attention?" She said to me,
pretty early on where he says, like, he actually calls her sister. As opposed to Ida, which is her name.
So I was confused. I thought that, because there's a sheriff in this as well, and I thought he was one of their siblings, but they're all siblings. It's like him, yes. His sister, him and his sister run this motel, and then their brother is the sheriff of this town. But the way this works... and one of my first notes, Evangelist is on the TV, just like the movie X. But, you know, general idea here is this dude lays out traps on the road, like spikes for people to run over. They get in an accident and he collects them. And he has a secret garden on his property. It's like behind like a fence that's like covered with like vines and shit. He buries people up to their necks, and I don't know why, but saves them there until he's ready to make meat out of them. Like, that's the premise of this fucking movie.
They cut out the vocal cords and then
yes, I forgot that.
Feed them and prep them basically they harvest them because at one point they're like looking over their crop and like, oh, this one's almost ready, like, so he has an idea of like when they'll be good to pull out.
And when they pull them out, I mean, I saw what you had to say about this, that like the horror's not really there. I think the horror actually kind of is, like, the so these people on the ground with their vocal cords cut, that's disturbing to me. Like, what the, like, the gurgling sounds that they make.
It is grotesque in a way that like I probably wasn't expecting, but like just the absurdity of it is, it's so outlandish.
Because it's just like, it doesn't make sense why you gotta plant them.
Right.
But they do. And, you know, it's goofy. You know, it's not trying to be serious. It's just like, okay, why? But yeah, when they want, you know, to go way ahead here, like when they pull them out of the ground, they like throw a rope around their neck and then pull them with their tractor.
Which is, and like, that whole scene is so goofy because, like, and I don't know if it's because like he tried to hook 3 up at once, but like the tractor actually does a wheelie. Like, because
I love that like, shot.
Pulling. It's so funny.
The tractor goes up on its back end because it's pulling them, and they're, you know. And then eventually snaps their necks and pulls them out. But anyways, like, it starts off with, you know, he's doing this trap and he gets this couple, and I guess, you know, he plants the guy, but he keeps the girl, like, does not do anything to her for some reason. And then when she wakes up, he's like, "Yeah, sorry, your boyfriend is dead, and you can't see him. I buried him. I buried him this morning." It's like, what the fuck? And the sheriff is there. The brother of the people who run this motel, and they say that, like, again, I'm still like trying to get my bearings. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And they say that to him, like, he says that right, you know, to her, like, right in front of the sheriff, and the sheriff is like, yeah, that's okay, that's, like, there's, like, a law that in this part of the area where you can do that. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it's a really weird, and it's like, because that plays in later for me as well, because it starts to be confusing, because Bruce, the sheriff, the brother, he seems to know what's going on, but also has no idea what's going on. So, like, it seemed like at that moment, before we know anything, it seems like he's covering for Vincent.
But he doesn't know, and he ends up being, like, one of the good guys at the end. Yeah, it's him. Yeah. It's him and this girl. But this girl that they just, like, keep, she decides to stay with them at the motel, like, with very little so convincing.
Weird, yeah.
It's just like, she's just like, this is my life now. Like, it'd be like if you went on a vacation with your wife and you got in this horrible accident and she died and you just decided to live where you had the accident. It makes no sense.
I'm just going to stay whatsoever. Here now and not move on.
Like, this is my life now. I live in this motel. I'm like this couple's like imaginary daughter. Like it's so fucking weird, but I think part of it is that, like, I have a taste for this type of movie now from watching so much of The Last Drive-In. This is just such the type of movie that we show on The Last Drive-In that I'm having fun. Like, I thought it was so funny that she stayed with them. then he does it again. Like, there's this band that's traveling in a van. The band is called Ivan and the Terribles. And he gets the
start, like they have the van painted and
yeah. As you can tell, I had a good time with this. It's these stupid lines, like when he plant. I think it's when he plants the band in the ground. Like he said, like the famous like kind of like tagline for the movie is like it takes all kinds of critters to make Vincent Farmer Vincent's fritters.
Yep.
They go on this picnic. It's like, I think it's like him, his wife, or again, I keep thinking it's his wife. Him, his sister, and his brother, and then this girl who they've like kind of adopted. And they're like talking about how, you know, he says the line, meat's meat and man's gotta eat. Yeah. And I can imagine what. Go ahead, Chris.
No, I was just agreeing. Yes.
That this guy is played by Roy Calhoun, who was, like, I guess, a famous character actor back in this day. And so this was him kind of, like, doing something outside of his norm. And he's fantastic in this. But, yeah, he's, like, telling them, they're, like, at this picnic, and he's, like, talking about how his mom, when they're kids, like, she ate a dog or something.
It's so fucked up.
And everyone, even the sheriff, who is, again, not in on this whole scheme of making meat out of people, was like, yeah, dude, it's, you know,
it's just meat. It's just dog, right? It's just extra meat. Like, tastes good. You smoke it right.
In this scene, I had another huge laugh. Because the sister is like, do you want to know the secret of Farmer Vincent's meat? I can tell you. And Farmer Vincent just punches her in the gut to get her to shut up.
And Terry continues to stay with these crazy motherfuckers.
I know. But that's when I was like, all right, this movie is just going straight for ridiculousness. And I did laugh very hard at that part. Like, this thing just like leans over and punches his sister in the gut. Like, shut the fuck up. And so I know the type of movie that I'm in for at this point, and I'm enjoying the hell out of it. The sheriff takes this girl that they've adopted on a date to the drive-in.
It's a great scene, too.
Like, yes.
He pulls up, and it's like basically like Lookout Mount or what.
Yeah, it's like a makeout spot. And he gets everyone to clear out. He gets like on the loudspeaker and threatens everyone. So like they have this whole makeout, you know, cliff or whatever to themselves. And I guess you can see the drive-in if you look through the binoculars. Like he's got two pairs of binoculars for them to watch the movie. I just.
That he has, like, he has...
You couldn't, you're police, you could just probably roll into the drive-in theater, you
right,
know?
Instead he, like, goes to, like, this cliff to avoid paying, but then he calls, like, the operator at the drive-in.
Yes.
He's like, hey, can you put the, can you send me the audio on my radio? So, so but that whole scene, like, where he cleans out, look out the make-out point or whatever, like, there's, like, people hopping out of cars, running around naked, like, the fuck
yeah.
is going on? It's so stupid.
And it's like, just when you like think it can't get any more ridiculous, it keeps getting more ridiculous. There's another couple they get in this whole sequence too, and the sheriff is like trying to race to come to help. They put like fake cows out in the road, but the one I really wanted to get to, the moment I decided I love this movie is this couple shows up. They like,
oh yes,
show up to the motel, and I guess they're under the impression that Motel Hello is a like swinger spot.
Yep.
And you tell me what you think, because like they pull out this brochure of like hot, it says hot spots on it, and I think what it is like they have a brochure. Back in the day, there was no internet or whatever, but like it's like a brochure advertising. Like swinger parties, right? And I think that the people that run the Motel Hello put an ad in and just kind of completely forgot about it. They're like, this is one way to attract people here, right? Is that what happened here?
That seems like a likely take, because I was like, this is weird, because like, are they advertising for like?
Because the sisters. Like, says something. She's like,
oh, I didn't know it was gonna be in that issue.
Yeah, like I didn't know we were gonna get in, but yeah, okay. And so this couple, it's like an old, like the guy is older, the like his girlfriend is younger looking and stuff, but like this couple who is like our middle age at best are like, we're here to fuck, and then they see this, you know, the people running this motel are not like, you know, it's an old man and his like frumpy sister, and they think that they're gonna fuck them, and they're like all about it. Like,
yes, bring it on. Like, this is gonna be fun. No, it's terrifying.
Yeah, dude, this swinger couple checks into their motel room, and she's like in, you know, whips, like she's got a whip and she's just fucking whipping everything in the room and destroying it, and then her boyfriend comes out and he's dressed up in lingerie. I'm just like, wow, this movie's fucking going for it. I don't even know what I'm, some of my notes here, I'm like, what was I talking about? I think eventually, yeah, the girl that they basically adopted tries to make out with Farmer Vincent, I think.
Yeah, so, well, what led up to that? Oh, so she's like, goes outside, and he's like,
oh, yeah.
And she's like, you know, like, oh, this is a nice place, like, you know, and he's like, well, maybe one day I'll show you all about the smoking. Like, I'll show you how to smoke the meats. And he drives off in his tractor, and she's like, oh, this is fun. So she starts like exploring the deli area where they slice like all the butchery stuff.
Yeah.
And she's going to go back into the back room, and that's when Ida pops out. And she's pissed. Like, what are you doing snooping around here? Because, like, you
know, she takes her swimming, right?
Yeah, she takes her out to the lake. And she accidentally, I don't know if she accidentally pops her own tube or if she was intent to pop the other one. But she, her tube pops. She's flopping around. And then Terry tries to save her. And Ida tries to push her down. Murder her, and that's when Vincent saves Terry. When Terry comes to, then she's like,
and then she tries to kiss him.
I want to not even just kiss. Like, she's like,
she wants to fuck this old man.
Like, fuck me, Vincent. And he's like, oh, not until we're married.
And can you kind of see like the parallel themes here between this and X? I'm watching this movie going, man, you really like accidentally picks two really good movies. Like they complement each other well, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then what's batshit is Terry's like, are you proposing to me?
Yeah.
And then like they're setting up a fucking wedding.
Yes. Like, so they're going to get married because you won't have sex. Another
this
great
all happens
scene.
In like 2 days.
She's lost her like husband or boyfriend and decided this is her life now, and then she's gonna marry Farmer Vincent and just live this life. We have another really, I think the scene I think is when they kill the band. But before they kill the band, they give them a hypno light show.
Yeah. Oh, that was giving me a headache. That shit was nutty. Yeah.
I think he says like you're having a hypno high. It's like, I don't know, it's like these swirling things with lights behind them and basically getting these people on the ground, like giving them a good trip before they're gonna kill them. He even says it's like heavier but smoother than any trip you've ever had. And he's like, have you ever heard of astral projection? And he's like, you're going to go to Mars. I'm like, this movie. I'm like, I should have fucking dropped something or smoked something before watching this. And then they do the tractor thing where they snap their necks, which I thought was really great, too. And then they're preparing meat out of them. And then now we're getting into, like, the end of the movie. Her boyfriend, who's still alive in the soil, like the guy from the beginning, the guy in the accident, I think his name's Bo.
Yep.
He manages to get himself out of the soil, and he starts pulling everyone else up out of the soil, and they start running around the property like zombies, basically, because they can't talk.
So weird, because like...
Because they're even moving like zombies and shit.
Yeah, they're doing a zombie movie now. But like the whole thing with Bo is weird because, you know, he was planted before the band was.
I know.
They harvested the band earlier. I don't know. It
goes back to the whole planting thing makes no sense. And then like their selection process also makes no sense. But it doesn't, like, the movie is not meant to be like you asking these questions.
You don't ask the logical questions of why this is happening.
You get pighead Farmer Vincent in this with the chainsaw. You get a chainsaw fight with his brother when his brother shows up.
It's so goofy, too. It's like, what? One, he has the, you know, the sheriff has a fucking shotgun.
Yeah.
Just shoot him.
I did love how Farmer Vincent, like, when he's wearing this pighead for no reason, is laughing the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, hee 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 hee.
Like, he's lost his fucking mind.
It was, again, it's like, the movie's goofy and everything, but I found, like, the visuals and like, little things like that kind of disturbing. Like, again, it's like, the whole planting people on the ground thing is goofy and all that, and, like, pulling them out of the tractor is goofy, but also, like, kind of disturbing. So, like, it did work for me on a horror level, yeah, too. Yeah. Like, it didn't, like, I'm not saying this is like it disturbed me, but it's a little disturbing. You get the big showdown here. And at the very end, Farmer Vincent reveals his big secret. He says, he's like, I have to say something, like, as his dying breath. He's like, I have to say something. I'm a hypocrite. I use preservatives. Because he did this whole bit earlier about how, you know, that they don't use preservatives in their meat. It's just another. I thought it was a good punchline to end the movie.
Yeah, it's just another, like, what the fuck.
So that's Motel Hell. It's you know, it starts off so quiet and slow. They're like showing you this motel and stuff. I'm like, is this gonna be any good? And once it got going, which did not take long, I was like totally just like having a ball with it. And
question about like that first where they get Terry and Bo on the motorcycle, it's implied that he shoots the shotgun. Like, did I miss that? Like, I thought they just
shot the shotgun. I thought they just crashed.
Yeah, like
I thought they ran over. Okay, because like Strom set up bike traps later.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and like, you know, the Bo's driving
along.
Thought
he shot out their tire. Or something?
So, what's his name? The sheriff. He like comes back to Terry and is like, this is when Ida attacks Bruce as well. He comes back, wakes up Terry because they've drugged her to go to their harvest. And he like shakes her awake. He's like, look, I know shit's weird. Like, I found all this evidence and like, I found buckshot in your tire. It's like, he shot. And then she's like, are you saying Vincent shot us? It's like, yeah. It's like, but that's not what happened. Like, you're a terrible grip detective. Issue. Like, you're right, but completely wrong.
I think that's a scripting issue, or maybe we are, but I think he, like, because again, he does say at one point, you know, this trap thing is really, like, you know, feeding my creativity in life or whatever. Like, you remember he says that to his sister? He's like, he's like, this trap part's the best part because it allows me to, like, explore my creative side.
But yeah, like, I just thought that was, like, and it probably is just, like, a scripting thing where they were supposed to shoot him, you know, shooting out the tire or whatever, and they didn't. But it's so goofy. I don't know. I had a lot of fun with it. It's
one I'll watch again. I know I'll watch this one again.
This is one I could see going back to.
Yeah.
I didn't find it scary necessarily, though. Like, I do think, like, as we talked about it, like, yeah, some of it is a little terrifying, like having your vocal cords ripped out.
In fact, like, a normal horror comedy wouldn't have the vocal cord part. It would just be, oh, we're planted in the ground.
Right.
Like, the fact that they added that and it had
the whole zombie, like, groaning.
Yeah, like, it's just like, all right, there's a little bit of an edge here, too. Like, it's not much. Like, they're not aiming to make you. There's, again, not trying to be the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Right. And it's certainly, I don't think it's particularly gory at all either. Like, there's some body parts gory. Floating, but like, that's not necessarily.
No, it's more just like fucked up shit. Type of thing. Yeah.
It is. And it's so goofy and out there that, like, it's charming and it's a ton of fun to watch. I had a lot of fun with it.
I guess that maybe that was your final thoughts.
Yeah, I think those are my final thoughts on it. I'm gonna go 6 out of 10.
All right. I laughed a lot in this. And despite it being very jokey, like, I do think the horror elements are still pretty, like, disturbing, even though those are also jokey and again, make no sense. Like, the planning the people on the ground makes no sense. But this is like a perfect midnight movie. Like, it would kill on The Last Drive-In. I think if you enjoyed this, Chris, you should watch some of The Last Drive-In because he constantly highlights movies like this, like these modest movies that are somehow better than you would ever think. It's really like The Last Drive-In has really increased my appreciation of this type of film. I think it earns its cult, you know, classic status. It's one that, like, out of these two movies, is like, I'm like, this is the one I want to have on Blu-ray. This is the one I want to be able to bust out and show people and be like, trust me, I know the first 5 minutes you're like, what are we watching? But
just wait,
smoke a bowl and trust me on this. I'm going with the same rating as X, so a 7.5 out of 10. Nice. But I guess that leaves us with, you know, one more task here, which is to pick our favorite of the two and assign a winner. So I'm guessing based on your ratings, you're going X.
I'm gonna go X. I think X is the better of the two films. I would probably watch both again anyway. I think X is just the better made movie.
Yeah, even, can't argue with that.
even if Motel Hell is a fucking blast to play with.
I can't, yeah, that's the thing. I can't argue, like, again, I think Ty West is a hell of a craftsman and a great director, but this movie's just more fun for me. So I give them both the same rating. I'm going Motel Hell.
All right.
Which means we have a little bit of a tie here, and we have to go to the polls, and I'm going to tell you, I did not expect it to play out this way, Chris. I really expected X was going to win, but it's not going to win.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
I wonder if some of it is people haven't seen X yet, or...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That, I thought, you know, I'm like, that could play into it, or there's people, like, there's also there's people that have grown up with Motel Hell their whole lives, and they say, oh, X was good, but it's not Motel Hell. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah, so like on Twitter, X got 100% of the vote, but 100% of the vote was not a lot. So anyways, the way it broke down is Motel Hell got 73% of the vote, most of that on Facebook, and X got 27%.
Wow.
Most of that on Twitter.
All right.
So it was a blowout for Motel Hell. And if you would have told me going into this that I would have liked Motel Hell better than X, I would have been like, no way, dude. Really? Yeah. Like, I had never seen either of these movies before. Obviously, X is new. But just, you know, when I saw the trailer for X, I'm like, oh, man. This is, like, made for me. And it is. It's a very good movie. And I like it a lot. But Motel Hell is, like... It's one of those ones where I'm like, I'm waiting to see it go on sale because I think I do want it on Blu-ray. I want like a nice looking copy of it. By the way, I thought it did look. Did you watch it on Tubi?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it looked good on Tubi, and I thought some of the ad breaks were not a ton of ad breaks. I didn't think, and some of them were. There's one where he's about to cut into this girl with the chainsaw. I think it's like right as he's about to do it. It cuts to the commercial break. I'm like, whoever cut that was genius. But yeah, so ultimately, Motel Hell takes this one, and I did not expect it to go that way.
I mean, both good movies, so no argument about that.
I gotta tell you, this is like one of it was a happy surprise for me because I knew I was going with two movies kind of in the same realm-ish, but I did not expect them to pair so well. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm telling you right now, I would recommend doing these two as a double feature, and I would do X followed by Motel Hell. But yeah. Chris, how are we going to kick off summer in June? What movies you got?
We are going to space.
Okay.
Not new movies. And I've actually seen both of these. You may have, too. We are going to watch a pair of space horror films. 1997's sci-fi horror film by Paul W.S. Anderson, Event Horizon.
All right.
And 2007's Danny Boyle's Trip to the Sun, Sunshine. Hitting these two against each other. There's some thematic crossover between the two.
Space?
Yeah, space, definitely. but there's definitely some other ties as well in the way things kind of play out. I enjoy both these films a lot. These are two of my favorite films. And I've wanted to kind of go back to Event Horizon for a while. I think it pairs nicely with Sunshine. So,
I like it. I think I saw Event Horizon when it came out, but like it was one of those movies again, we're going back a long time ago, but like I think I like half watched it and I didn't appreciate it. And then as years and the internet, you know, came to fruition, people like talked about this movie a lot. People really like Event Horizon. And I've not circled back to it to actually watch it properly.
Yeah, so this is my first time doing that. In terms of like critic rating, like Event Horizon is the critics hated it when it came out.
It's got respect though now. I think it actually has a Scream Factory release and stuff too. Like people really, really love that movie.
It is
a scary movie, everyone says.
I haven't seen it in a while, but yes, I remember being very scary. It is gory. It has some, like, you know, for 1997, it has some really gross shit going on in it. Sunshine less so, but it is also a kind of a horror film in that that vein. Takes place in space, kind of some terrifying imagery.
This Danny Boyle.
Danny Boyle did Sunshine.
Cool. I've never seen a frame of Sunshine. So.
Oh, really? So
yeah. I've, you know, you're introducing me to a couple movies here.
Nice.
Awesome. I'm actually excited for both of these. That's cool. I've been meaning to check out Event Horizon for a long time because it had gained so much respect over the years.
Yeah, so this should be fun, especially if you are not familiar with either. It'll be fun to see your first time takes on them.
Yeah, and I'm going to be judging them from the distance of time. Looking at a sci-fi movie from late 90s. Do these effects hold up?
25 years old.
These early CG effects.
Yep.
Does Event Horizon have like a lot of CG stuff in it? It's been so long.
I know there's a lot of practical effects going on, but I'm sure there's also some goofy ass CG, like
hopefully not as bad as those hyenas that were roaming around last month. And
no, that's just so weird because that was a mid-2000s film. That is nightmarish to think that's what happened there. This was Paul W.S. Anderson's third film, coming off of Mortal Kombat, the original Mortal Kombat.
Yeah,
and this is kind of where he got that name for himself with those first two films. So,
and people dig this guy. People dig his. You're a fan of the Resident Evil movies, right?
Sure, we'll go with that. I've watched them all. Look, the guy makes schlocky shit. Like
that's the thing. It's like he's not pretentious. Like he knows the lane he's in, and he's stuck to that lane. And I heard even Monster Hunter was okay. Did you watch that one?
I've pretty much liked every movie of his that I've seen. Cool. Like, they are not traditionally good, but they are. I've always found his shit fun.
This is the one that people talk about, though, so I'm excited to see it finally. And Danny Boyle, I mean, shit. 28 Days Later is one of, I think, the best horror movies of the 2000s. So I'm excited to check out Sunshine.
Yep, and I mean that we all know, like, I mean, he's gone on to great success.
All around, like. But,
this was shortly after 28 Days Later. Well, not shortly, 5 years later, but, right before he really hit big with Slumdog Millionaire. So.
Cool, man. I'm excited about this one.
All right, fun.
So we'll be back. We're kicking off the summer by Recurring Nightmares in Space.